This podcast is brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or download the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store. Enjoy.
And it is time for Tech Plus again, and as always, great to have, almost forgot his name. It's been a while, because obviously last week you weren't here, so I forgot your name, sorry. Would you mind reintroducing yourself?
Oh, what's up, man? Good to be back.
Yes, Kane. I always called you Keenan. That's our newsreader, sorry.
Imagine I was Keenan. Yo, I always thought I would, in the beginning of time, I was like, yo, Kane, what a name, man. I'm either an alcoholic or like a strong Bible person. Or, and even if you compare it to the Bible, I'm the bad guy in the Bible.
Yo.
Alcoholic, you know. Undertaker's brother in WWE is not good. It's not good.
Oh, yes,
references.
I remember that WWE character. You see, how's your week been, man?
Good. It's been actually a very busy week. I was surprised by those floods, eh? Usually we flood this time, but this was a... Did you see some of those floods in Georgia? I mean, that was...
Yeah, it was mad. Just water gushing all over. And I mean, okay, bad drainage, let's be honest. But otherwise, it was quite hectic. Lots of water falling in a very short time.
Yeah, I saw a video on TikTok of someone's house.
Yeah.
It was like a gated house, you know, one of those houses that have a garage and a chalet in there and a big house. And right through the middle of the house, out the gate, was a basic... a river of water just crashing through, and I was like, wow.
I saw those. I mean, that's just hectic, and I feel so sorry for those people. But you know what, there's something different in the air this time of year. You know, it's almost December's next week Wednesday, and there's still that chill in the air at night. And last year this time around, I was sleeping in shorts and battling with mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah.
So is it a late summer, or is everything changing? What's happening?
That's a very good question. I think we definitely had a very cold winter.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. It was an exceptionally
cold Especially when
cold
you live
winter.
So close to the water. Oh. It was my first winter so close to the water. I was like, damn.
But I think hectic. That might be the reason you feel more cold at the moment, because you're right on the water. You
Could
know?
Be.
The water hasn't properly warmed up yet. So
okay.
When the wind blows off the water...
That
it's
makes
like
sense. I was supposed to know
freeze.
That. Yeah, I was supposed to know that. I didn't. But yes, and then also the strong winds and all that kind of stormy stuff coming our way. It looks like it's quite a stormy season ahead of the festive season. And now we're dealing with a new COVID wave as well, and a new variant that's been discovered in our country.
It's good news that the sun is coming out, because viruses don't do well exposed to extreme sunlight.
Let it burn, son. Let it burn.
I was even thinking about it the other day. It's kind of getting dark close to 8, you know, half past 7, 8. It's kind of getting dark, and it's getting light about 5.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's
sometimes
a lot of daylight
five.
Hours in the
It's a long
day.
Long day. Yeah.
We're approaching summer solstice, I think. When is the day to that? I think
wasn't
it's something of December, maybe.
Yeah, isn't it around the 21st or something?
I think it's the 21st or the 19th or something like that. But that's always one of my favorite, because then you have such a long day. I really enjoy when it's getting dark around 8, 8:30, because you have a whole different perception of the day. When winter comes and it starts getting dark at 6, you feel defeated at night time, you know? You feel like you've been robbed of sunlight.
It is. And it can get really depressing. I know exactly what you mean. What's it like? How was the week tech-wise?
Ooh.
How would you say? Would you say it was quite eventful?
It has definitely been a very eventful week in tech. We have some... Obviously, it gets to the December time, and December's a great launch date for new updates and big changes in tech. And also to announce new venture capital... what is the word I'm looking for? Like ventures, just money-based ventures into new establishments and things. For example, Cape Town's V&A Waterfront is getting a desalination plant, a new one.
Ooh.
And we know about Cape Town and its water issues. I mean, there was a time a few years ago where there were severely strict water restrictions on watering your garden even.
Yes, you know? Or showering, like you had to shower in 2 minutes or something.
Yeah, no, you might as well just get a bucket of water and slowly pour it over your head in the shower, you know, to maximize your shower time. Or you have a dry
shower.
Some
artists actually wrote songs that or they took their existing songs and made shorter versions of it and said, when you get in the shower, click play. And when the song stops, you know you need to get out. Yeah, that actually did quite that. Clever. One of the artists in Cape Town.
But I must say, a few songs pass on my playlist if I have a shower and there's music playing. So I think it's, you know, I start hearing the fourth or fifth song and I think to myself, yeah, I know, you're definitely abusing the water situation. Yeah,
now, I can't hear my songs tomorrow. When I shower. I just hear the pipes bang. My water's always off, so there's a lot of air in my system.
I always used to take my phone into the bathroom when I showered and leave music playing, but... I always thought, I wonder if water damage will occur.
Yeah.
And standing here today, that particular phone has no mic, no camera, no sound.
So it got it destroyed, damaged.
It ruined the phone.
Oh my gosh, there goes my playlist tonight in the shower. Oh gosh.
So Cape Town's V&A Waterfront is set to get a new desalination plant to ensure a fresh water supply at the tourism hotspot during any future crisis affecting South Africa's second largest city. Growth Point Properties, which is the country's biggest listed real estate firm, received approval for the 3.3 megalitre facility, of which construction will begin in the first quarter of next year, and according to a statement on Thursday, the project should be complete by 2024. And it's funny because it's a Johannesburg based company building a desalination plant in Cape Town. You know, so I think it's a very long project timeline, but to build a 3.3 megaliter facility is no easy task, especially because that facility has to run absolutely non-stop, constantly working. And we've seen with Eskom, things that tend to run absolutely non-stop tend to don't get managed properly. So
yeah,
it would be good to get one of these. I would love to see how the maintenance of that will happen and how that water will be distributed. Like, you know, will it be government issued water? Will it work towards your 3,000 liters free per month? Do you have to have a special subscription in order to get water from that particular plant? Is it, you know, there's a lot of questions, like, is it state owned that I have, you know, what are the costs going to be, who pays for it, how do they make their money back? Those are all very important questions to consider when you're thinking about it long term. You can't have a desalination plant that makes no money. Doesn't work so well.
Remember, yeah, they had one in Sedgefield.
I remember that. We have one in Nice actually,
at the beach bar. Oh, I didn't know that. But in Sedgefield there was one at the beach bar, and it wasn't operating for long. Was it even operating? It never just took off. It never took off. Something
really
happened.
Really, eh? It must be mismanagement, just standing there or now. Something.
Yeah, maybe people stole the stuff again. I know.
But Cape Town has big water problems, so I think this will come as something that's appreciated. But also, you know, this year, well, in October, we had 1.6 million people visit Cape Town, which is 28% more than the previous month. We are getting closer to December, but it's only three quarters of pre-pandemic levels.
Yeah.
So it just gives you an idea, you know, we're nowhere close to, we're back to square one. We're trying to increase the amount of tourists that visit South Africa. It's a major form of income, and we're not even back to where we were.
No. You know?
So we need to make sure there's things in place like that. And now with the new COVID variant, it's just, what a struggle. Also, vacancies in Johannesburg hub of Sandton have risen to 21%. Yeah.
Somebody told me in Sandton, I mean, that's the Lani part of Joburg.
Yeah.
You know, the fancy part.
And, you don't want high unemployment rates in
it's
a
It's very
main
empty
hub.
There.
If you've been to PE and you go into the main city region of PE, you get disappointed very quickly because you know, there's massive buildings that
it's
are absolutely...
It's deteriorating. How sad.
Yeah.
And also, I know, well, PE is really battling, or Kliberga is battling with their water terribly.
So much emphasis on the...
I love the clicks. can you do the PE name by now, the new PE name?
Kliberga.
Or do you just
say... click. I say Kliberga
because
I don't know where the click goes in. I feel like I put the click in random places, like Kliberga, you know? I don't play around with that.
That's so funny. Listen, now with Black Friday coming up, I think it's probably Black Weekend all over, but hopefully Eskom won't be running any Black Friday specials, if you know what I'm saying. You know, there's a lot of... Have you seen any deals online that really knocked your socks off?
Yeah. I'm a tech guy, so obviously it's tech, but I saw a 500 gig SSD going for like $799.
Really?
And, you know, I paid, I think, $1,250 for my 250 gig. So, I mean, that's a really good deal, you know, if you need it. Or it's present time. You prepare for Christmas now, you know. You save money. And it's also a way for businesses to reduce overstock surplus, you know. It's a good way for them to still be able to buy newer stock that is going to go off the shelf faster without having to hold old stock, you know. So if they can get back at cost or cost plus slight profit, it's a good business strategy to freshen up your stock for the next year. And I'm happy to take it, you know, give me the PS5.
Absolutely.
I'll take it.
And do you think these are actually specials, or do you think it's just a psychological game where they say it's cheaper but it's not really?
I would hope that it's real, but realistically, I think if I was in that position, I'd be tempted to inflate my prices 2 to 3
and now it's a special,
weeks before,
yeah.
Or a month or two before.
Oh, and then it makes it look like it's a special. You're right.
Definitely something to look out
for. But there's actually a tool to help you with that. There's a new website which makes it easy for Takealot shoppers to see whether they're scoring a good deal on a discounted product or whether the savings shown to them has been overstated. Website is called servaltracker.com. That's S-E-R-V-A-L tracker.com. It records the daily historic listing and selling prices of popular products on South Africa's biggest e-commerce site, and then presents these in a simple graph. And then you can see for yourself. To check the pricing history of a particular product, you just copy the URL of the product from Takealot's site. A generated graph will then show the product's pricing from the date that Serval started tracking it. Servaltracker.com. Does that sound cool?
That's very interesting. I would be concerned about, I mean, I've double take prices on Takealot a few times because they always seem to be selling something at a discounted price. You know, they're like, was 45,000, now 28,000. You
can
every
is that?
Other shop and it's 28,000.
What on earth are you buying at that price?
Laptops and, you know.
Yo, that's hectic. That's probably gaming laptops.
VR headset will set you back.
Goodness.
Well, a Dell XPS, which is one of the best work laptops, I'd say, if you don't want to slack on performance, but you're not necessarily gaming. The XPS series is 30,000 to 50,000 rand a laptop.
Yo.
And that's business laptop, you know.
Damn.
You're not necessarily gaming on that.
How much RAM do you get with those?
All of it.
A lot. Yeah, because RAM is so important. And, you know, but it imagine you have an awesome gaming laptop like that, but your internet connection is crap.
No, imagine.
Can you imagine the frustration?
That's like been like my whole life.
Yeah.
The internet in South Africa is terrible. Speaking of, do you know Jeff Bezos has made a prediction, which I think is pretty outlandish, or it's just a very, very, you know, dreamer statement that could or could not work, but it's also something that contradicts something that Elon Musk said. Jeff Bezos predicts space will soon be the home, soon be home, and Earth just a vacation spot.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so he says many people will be born in space. Which Jeff Bezos said, who believes that Earth will soon be nothing more than a vacation spot for humans. Jeff Bezos has proven himself to be someone who is well worth listening to. However, his recent statements about space have really left many wondering if he's a big dreamer or a big fool. The Amazon boss says that humans will soon live in space and use Earth as a vacation spot. So what does that really mean? Well, what he's saying is that he believes that there's more future for us in building colonies of human civilization in space, where people are born in space, not on another planet, but actually in space on an international space station kind of environment, and then they visit Earth. You know,
you just come for a quick holiday here on the planet,
which is crazy because I think you could do a lot in terms of a space station. You know, you could have cafeterias, swimming pools, all sorts of stuff, and it could represent the life that we're used to on Earth. But you can never really encompass that lifestyle of Earth, and if that is true, Earth will become a very expensive place to live, and colonies in space might be much cheaper in time. But who knows, really? Elon came out and said, you know, that this doesn't, you know, they think it's a clever jab at Elon Musk, who has been on a mission to try and determine whether humans can live on Mars. But in 2019, Elon Musk once compared Bezos' space colonization plans to building America in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. So that gives you a little bit of the tension in the room between these two big guys and their big ideas. You know?
I've always wondered what it would be like having those two in the same room.
Oh, yeah. I thought, you know, chummy, we got lots of money, we can do
same.
Big things. But it's more like, I'm the smartest, you're the smartest, who's the smartest?
Yeah, well, I choose Elon anyway. It's back to Take Plus. If you just joined us, big hello to you. If you want to get in touch during the course of the show, you are most welcome. 081 060 0810. That's 0810601640. And Kane is with us in studio. And we're looking at the biggest stories of the week when it comes to technology. Now, Kane, I know I asked you in the kitchen already, but we weren't on air, so I'm going to ask you again. Jukes. Do you know what Jukes is?
No.
You said yes.
The sound, the
streaming service.
Yes. The streaming service.
Yes, so J-O-O-X. J-O-O-X.
Just popped up and...
Yeah.
I saw it. I never actually took a subscription out or had a look at what they had.
It was basically the South African version of Spotify, but with South African artists obviously at the forefront of it.
Right.
Kind of like promoting South African stuff more than the international stuff. But it is now just disappearing, eh?
Really?
They say it looks like it's not working. They're shutting it down. I just want to make sure about the date. They're shutting it down soon. Why do you think that is? I mean, do you think it's just impossible to compete with the big oaks out there, the big ones?
Well, just guessing, I would say that one of the main influential factors is actually the artists themselves. Artists want to be known as a top artist, and to be a top artist you need to check all the boxes. You need to be on Apple Music, you need to be on Spotify, you need to be on YouTube, you need to be on these streaming platforms, which is where the listeners are. So the job of a platform like that is to make sure there are listeners, because without listeners there's no value for an artist to be on that streaming platform. And I don't think it's a problem with artists. I think they would have had an ability to sign artists, because artists would have been confident in the prospects of being able to be on a South African pure streaming platform. But people in South Africa are not only looking for South African music. They're looking for international music.
Exactly.
And the South African artists need to be at that international standard.
Mm.
And they're going to still go look for the top artists on the top streaming platforms. So it's a very monopolized industry to try and overwhelm by just having South African regional focus, I think. I think it's a very difficult battle to try and even get people to sign up. I mean, I complain about my 50 Rand Apple Music subscription, because there's also Spotify and, you know, Deezer and all these other music platforms. You just can't afford 5 or 10 of them.
No.
You want one as a user.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to have that. And some people that do have that have very specific reasons for it, like Spotify. Why would you have a Spotify account if you already have an Apple Music account? Because Spotify is going to suggest songs that you might like.
They kind of get, it's just like Netflix, they kind of get to, like, they look at your patterns of what you like to listen and watch, and then they compile playlists based on that, and then later on it feels like it knows you and you like that.
So Spotify's unique selling point was being able to feed you, the listener, with music that you're potentially going to like. And this South African streaming platform, which you mentioned, sounds like their focus is on giving you South African music. And it doesn't necessarily mean you like South African music or you want to only listen to South African music.
Mm.
So that it's not going to capture enough people. Spotify is different enough from Apple Music that it has a utility. But just having a niche amount of artists as your unique utility, I don't think is enough to create a platform that can compete with Apple Music and Spotify that's just based in South Africa. So you have to really think outside the box and provide a new listening experience. Like if all the songs on that platform were 4D, I don't know if you've ever listened to 4D audio.
Yes,
it's very
on YouTube.
It's very much a very nice experience.
It's crazy.
That would have sold more in an international scope than just music on a South African platform, in my opinion.
But I mean, Kane, they really tried, eh? Because I see MultiChoice actually added Jukes VIP in October 2018 as a free value-added service for certain DSTV subscribers. And that didn't even work.
Mm-mm.
I mean, if you've got... at that stage, I would say in 2018, DSTV was still kind of hot.
Yeah.
Not now. Not anymore. 3 years later, things have changed so much. But, you know, now those people will be losing that, the few people who had it. It looks like it costs 60 Rand per month for the basic package. It's owned by Tencent, and it made its debut in South Africa in 2017. It's the It was also in collaboration with Telkom. So a lot of Telkom people once again getting something on their deals.
So it was created by Tencent.
Yeah,
what is Tencent? Naspers has a 60% share in Tencent. Naspers is a South African tech investment company.
Yes.
And Tencent created Epic Games, which is the game platform which created Fortnite.
Okay.
So that gives you a little bit of background. But I don't think this is a case necessarily that because it's South African artists has failed. I think this is more of a case, the same reason that the Twitch streaming competitors failed. And I think they got some streamers to move over from the Twitch platform onto this competitor platform. And it just didn't take off because the market share is owned. It is not up for grabs. There is not a lack of the ability to stream music.
Exactly.
So there won't be a high demand for a new music streaming platform. It's all about timing. Something's got to happen. You got to pay artists better. You got to pay listeners for listening, or you got to do something way outside of the box than selling a service that already exists. Because even
you're so right.
The Twitch competitors who paid like Ninja to move over to the competitor platform, they didn't take off either. They had top game streamers, and Twitch still did better because people know Twitch to be where you find game stream content.
So what happened to the other one?
It crashed and burned. They shut the doors.
Did it just fade into darkness in the background?
Doesn't have enough viewers, you know?
Shame, man. Yeah, that's not cool. Anyway, Duke said in a statement that the service will officially be ended. I suppose that's when they switch off the servers on the 31st of March 2022. So if you do happen to have a Duke's subscription, you might want to stream the hell out of it before the end of March next year.
Yeah, Costa Stitch's last few songs and then sign off.
Oh, that's so funny. But listen, you know what's so awesome? When you're Adele, you know, obviously Adele made a massive comeback now.
Yeah.
Okay. With a new album called 30. It's so nice to be Adele because you know what she did? She actually, the story was in the news this week or last week. She actually sent a message to the Spotify people, the creators, the bosses, and said, hello, listen, hello, can you please remove the shuffle button on my album, my new album, because I don't want people to listen to the songs all dear Macard. I want them to listen to it in the specific order that I put it on the album, because they all tell a story, and when you jumble them up, then the story is all screwed.
Yeah.
And they listened to it, and they took away the shuffle button on the album.
Wow.
That's cool.
Can you imagine the news article though if Adele asked and they said no? Like that would have hurt. That one would have burned.
Imagine if they said no.
Wouldn't be alone. It'd be goodbye.
But they listened. They listened, and that's so cool. It's nice. But I never knew that an artist actually they want the songs to be in a specific order because it's a story. I never thought of it that way.
No, I mean, imagine going if you make a story out of it, and there's 14 songs in an album, and you're supposed to listen to the story. It's like going to the new season of Stranger Things and just shuffling it. Can you imagine trying to watch it? You're gonna get lost.
Exactly. But anyway, well done Spotify. It's a nice move.
Yeah, no, at least they listen
to her. Yeah.
More than you can say about some places like Facebook. try reach out to Facebook support and see how quickly
it's impossible.
No, it will never work.
It's robotic.
So we all know what happened to the dinosaurs, right? Yeah. An asteroid landed, and that was the end of them.
Is there another one coming now?
Well, NASA has just launched a test mission of asteroid deflecting spacecraft. So this is a bid to have some security if an asteroid is tumbling towards Earth that poses a threat to life on Earth. But we can't go and push an asteroid to Earth and test it, so we're testing it on a asteroid that is far away, and this is the story behind it. So a spacecraft that must ultimately crash to succeed was launched late on Tuesday from California on a NASA mission to demonstrate the world's first planetary defense system designed to deflect an asteroid from a potential doomsday collision with Earth. The DART spacecraft soared into the night sky at 10:21 p.m. on Tuesday, or 8 a.m. South African time on Wednesday, from Vandenberg U.S. Space Force Base, about 250 kilometers northwest of LA, and carried aboard a SpaceX-owned Falcon 9 rocket. So this video is out. You can go watch this video of the spaceship launching, and it is a long mission. It's not going to happen in 5 seconds. So the DART payload, the DART is the name of the spacecraft, about the size of a small car, was released from the booster minutes after launch to begin a 10-month journey into deep space some 11 million kilometers from Earth. Once there, DART will test its ability to alter an asteroid's trajectory with sheer kinetic force. So cameras mounted on the impactor and on a briefcase-sized mini spacecraft to be released from DART about 10 days beforehand will record the collision and beam images of it back to Earth.
Oh dear.
So we're going to watch a spacecraft crash into an asteroid at 24,000 kilometers an hour and be able to watch the video of this. This is like real Star Trek, you know, moment. The asteroid DART is aimed at poses no actual threat and is tiny compared to the cataclysmic Chicxulub asteroid that struck Earth some 66 million years ago, leading to the extinction of the dinosaurs. But scientists say smaller asteroids are far more common and pose a greater theoretical danger in the near term. DART's target is an asteroid called Moonlet, the size of a football stadium, that orbits a chunk of rock 5 times larger in a binary asteroid system named Didymos, the Greek word for twin. So they're basically setting on a mission to hit an asteroid and try and alter its trajectory, of which there are 27,500 known near-Earth asteroids of all sizes that are tracked by NASA. And this will demonstrate if we have the ability on a small scale to shift the trajectory of an asteroid as a defense exercise that can be done, you know, into the future if something were to pose a threat to Earth. The scary thing is, though, there was an asteroid that came within a couple hundred or a couple thousand kilometers of Earth way back that would have caused an extinction level impact, and we only knew about it 2 days later because the asteroid came from the direction of the sun.
Ooh.
So if an asteroid is coming from the direction of the sun, you can't actually see the asteroid.
Yeah.
So even in that scenario, we would have found out when we got hit before we knew it was coming. So it's very important to, one, be able to track, but also, two, have some sort of last resort in place. And I think it's a step in human evolution, being able to build this technology. But that being said, hitting an asteroid at 24,000 kilometers an hour is nothing in comparison to the total speed an asteroid can be traveling, considering that an asteroid some way, somehow, kind of slingshotting off of a black hole or being near a star burning out or something like that could project that asteroid towards Earth at a light at the speed of light as the maximum terminal velocity. So now you're hitting something that is going a million kilometers an hour at 24,000 kilometers an hour. It's not going to be a very big dent. So there's a lot of things to consider and to plan for in the event that there is an asteroid coming and it is going at a fast pace. We need to figure out how to get something to hit that asteroid, if we're working from a kinetic point of view, to hit that asteroid at greater than 24,000 kilometers an hour. And how do we do that? That's a very good question that we have to figure out. But first, we have to figure out if an asteroid will even move. And that's just an asteroid the size of a football stadium. Now, imagine an asteroid the size of Texas.
What should we look out for when something like that hits us? Will we know it, or will we be gone before we know it?
I think it depends where on the Earth you are in relation to where the asteroid hits. I think there would definitely be an earthquake size event. There was a small asteroid that that's a meteor, because it hit the Earth, the name changes.
Yeah.
There was a small meteor that traveled above Russia, and it broke a couple sound barriers coming in, and upon its collision, shattered glass for kilometers.
Yeah.
Just the sheer sound. And that created a large amount of injuries. I think it was in 2016 or something
happened. Just the sound shattering.
Just the sound shattering.
Remember that
glass.
Woman who woke up with one something, piece of rock on her pillow? It came to her roof.
Yeah. You know?
So oh, my word. Okay.
If it's a big asteroid and it hits somewhere on the Earth, there will definitely be earthquakes. There will definitely be broken glass. If you're on the other side of the Earth, probably what you would experience is the lack of sunlight because of dust and stuff being cast into the atmosphere.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. No. We have enough to deal with at the moment.
Now, let's get to Mars first. Then asteroids could queue up for a strike. You know?
Yes. Now, we've got quite a few weird people out there, as we know by now. And all of these people happen to be on social media as well, unfortunately. And they're also on WhatsApp. And then sometimes they do some terrible things. And today, well, not yesterday, actually. A WhatsApp predator who exposed himself to estate agents was sentenced to 6 years in prison.
Sheesh!
The man is from, yeah, I'm making an example of him. The man is from, wait for it, Kluberga.
Double click, twice the power.
Yes, who sexually harassed female estate agents from across the country via WhatsApp. He's now gone to jail for 6 years. He was sentenced on Wednesday afternoon, 36 years old, and sentenced in the magistrate's court. He pleaded guilty to all 13 charges against him. Now listen to his modus operandi. This man would randomly Google the names of estate agents who worked for Property 24, and as soon as he had their numbers, I mean that's on the site, then he would call them via WhatsApp and then perform some sexual acts while still on the video call. And his victims ranged in age from 20 to 63. When he was sentenced to 6 years imprisonment, he was crying softly in court.
Sheesh, chuck him out. How, where, who is this guy? Why did he target estate agents?
He's got a thing. Maybe it's his thing for estate agents. He likes estate agents.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, hectic, eh? But, I mean, you see, that's also when you're an estate agent, your number and everything is out there. It's all public, and you will get these weird people.
Notice contacting self, have you. A separate number that
yeah.
you put in.
You should have a separate phone, yeah, not your personal direct number. But police took on the case after the Gauteng Provincial Serial and Electronic Crime Investigation Unit was approached by a private investigator and a reporter from a mainstream media house asking for help in tracking him down on behalf of his victims. Looks like he started as far back as 2016 already.
So he's been doing it for like 6 years?
Yes. And but it's not cool because there's a woman, she suffered tremendous stress as a result of this man. Now he's going to jail for 6 years.
Well, he's
he'll
out of
he'll probably
the
get out sooner.
But that's incredible. I mean, you should be sentenced to more than that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but the estate agents can chill now.
He's gone.
He's gone. Hopefully no phones in jail for him.
So there were 13 incidents in total, or yes. 13 victims.
Yes. 13 that we victims. Know of, but not all of them came forward, you see.
Yeah.
Well, so who knows what he did?
Madman. What? How many?
He's gone.
That's what happens when you drink coffee instead of water at least once a day. Just like never drink enough. Never hydrate your body. Your brain is short-circuited.
Exactly.
My word. Well, good on them for at least getting some justice.
Yes.
Because that's never nice. You're trying to work. You're trying to hustle. You're trying to grind. You're trying to make money. You're trying mm-hmm. to sell houses. And then you have this helicopter guy come in and start WhatsApp video calling you. I would block his number.
Immediately.
No, I'd make his own estate profile and see if another guy finds him. Oh, my word. On a lighter note, Audi readies SA for launch of their e-tron electric vehicles. Now, Audi will be one of the first in South Africa to release electronic vehicles that can be purchased. So, Audi's latest electric vehicle EV range, the e-tron, will be made available in South Africa during the first quarter of 2022. This will be the German multinational vehicle manufacturer's foray into the local EV space after the range was introduced in other parts of the globe over the last few months. As part of the pre-launch phase, South African customers are now able to reserve the e-tron model of choice at any of Audi's 10 e-tron dealerships nationwide. According to Audi, the official retail introduction of Audi's fully fledged EV consists of 6 new e-tron models across the model ranges. This includes the Audi e-tron SUV, the Sportsback, the S-Sportsback, and the e-tron GT. Prices range from 1.9 million for the e-tron 55 Advanced to around 3.3 million rand for the RS e-tron GT. But this is where I started thinking about it. You know, because the Audi e-tron SUV offers up to 300 kilowatts of power, which most of us probably won't really understand because it's electric power, and a range of up to 441 kilometers. Now, I'm relatively certain that on a combustion engine, you can achieve a distance of 500 kilometers on one very full tank of fuel. But if you're driving, let's say, from the Garden Route to Cape Town, which is about 550 kilometers, I believe, you will not have enough power to take enough charge to take you the full 500 kilometers.
Yeah.
And the question really is, well, if I do have an e-tron vehicle and I am driving from the Garden Route to Cape Town, will there be somewhere that I can power my car?
And will that place be soon enough on the journey before I run out of it? It doesn't help if the place is close to Cape Town and you've already run out at Swellendam.
Exactly. So the support for charging your car has to be a prior to that, because in a small city it makes sense, door to door, shop to shop, you can make it work. But on a long distance travel, if you don't have, like, imagine driving through the Eastern Cape with an electronic vehicle and there might not be any charging stations. Yeah. What happens when you do when it does end? And I have to know, and I will find out for next week, will there be a combustion engine included, so that if for any reason
for backup,
you run out of power, you can still run at half power on a combustion engine.
Can't I just bring my power bank and plug it in?
I feel like it's going to be something where the whole of Johannesburg is covered, and then the whole of Cape Town is covered, and then outlying areas are covered.
We'll be lost.
Nisner will be 2029. You have your first electric vehicle power.
Did you see that stunning new e-Merc?
Woo!
Yo, it's a stunning car.
It's a good looking car, eh?
God, it's beautiful.
Very futuristic-y looking.
But still stylish.
Very.
You know, you can look futuristic, but still be stylish. A lot of these things are just, they just look too futuristic. They're all squared. Still have your curves, you know? Keep it classy. I mean, that's what we expect from Mercs anyway.
So one thing that Audi has said is that as part of the e-tron purchase, Audi says it will make provisions for the installation of a 32 amps industrial socket to support the adequate setup of a charging point within the customer's home. So your home will be able to charge a car. So no more going to a petrol station. That's great. The setup will allow for the Audi e-tron charger to deliver around 7.2 kilowatts of power towards 100% charge in an estimated 13-hour charging time. To give you an idea, you know, on your switchboard in
DB
your house,
board,
your DB board, you have those individual, like you'll have your mains, then you'll have
geyser,
the earth
stove.
Leakage, geyser, stove, and then you have plugs. Each of those plugs are usually between 16 and 32 amperes. So they're basically giving you one more of those switches to add in that you can then draw power from, 7.2 kilowatts, I assume maybe an hour, I'm not sure. I think it will deliver 7.2 kilowatts of power towards 100% charge in an estimated 13 hours, which means it will cost you 7.2 kilowatts to charge your car full within 13 hours, which is, I don't see that, to be honest. I think there's a lot more charging going on. I mean, look at it. If you put your geyser on, you'll burn through 10 units quick.
Bro. Yeah.
Quick.
You can actually watch it happen.
Yeah.
It's just so bad. Oh, there goes my bloody money.
And that's the actual concerning thing, because the way that Eskom works in South Africa is the more you use, the more you end up paying per kilowatts of electricity.
Yeah.
So at the end of the month, you recharging your car is going to be more expensive than the beginning of the month.
Yeah.
Which is
the
problem.
Right. You're right.
It's a problem. Petrol doesn't get more expensive at the end of the month than the beginning of the month. It's cheaper.
Sorry, boss. I can't come to work today. It's too expensive to charge
my I burned through my last 50 units, you know.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem. But then again, I suppose if you can afford an electric vehicle, you wouldn't have any problems with money.
Shame for the people that rent their houses out with electricity included. Because if I had that, best believe I'm plugging in my car every day.
It's going to change. And you know what? You're going to collapse our grid, Kane. You're going to collapse our grid. It's already held together with sticky tape.
With those cars, it's going to be bad when load shedding hits. That means, you know, your car doesn't get fuel.
Exactly.
You can't drive it. So that's a bit scary. In other news, the Instagram head, Adam Mazzuri, will face US Congress regarding the app's impact on teens. This is something that has been discussed. Meta just released some statistics which excluded any potential harmful statistics on teens. So it's a little bit dodgy.
Yep.
But Adam Mazzuri will face the US Congress, and he and to give you a bit of a backstory, Facebook's been under increased scrutiny for some time now, which has thrown its cohorts and other Meta-owned products into a similar examination. Instagram has been specifically panned recently for its potential harmful effects on its teenage user base, which was reportedly aware of. In light of this, Instagram CEO Adam Mosseri will soon appear before Congress to discuss his app's effect on teenagers on the 6th of December. This isn't the first time a Meta, formerly Facebook Inc. big shot has faced U.S. Congress. We've all seen the memes from Zuckerberg's several visits. The reason for Congress's sudden interest in Mosseri links back to the whistleblower Frances Haugen's leaking of internal Facebook Meta documents. Amongst these were several internal studies concerning Instagram's effect on teenagers' mental health, with the major conclusion being it could be pretty bad. Meta critics have since launched onto this, latched onto this as a bolstering point for their arguments against the company and its products. The immediate effect was that the lawmakers demanded that the company halt and cancel its rollout of Instagram for Kids. Meta naturally disputes any evidence that says Instagram could be harmful and even dangerous for young users, pointing out flaws within its own research. Mosseri's goal is effectively to set the record straight. That's going to be a very interesting conversation, because it's not just based on speculation. It's based on internal leaked documentation.
Yep.
That they have to defend.
The actual thing, yeah.
So it's going to be very... He's stressing right now. He's not chilling on no beach with a pina colada, I'll tell you that much. He's cramming knowledge in and running through...
Who's Zuckerberg?
No.
Oh, Adam, okay. I was going to say, because Zuckerberg's always chilled.
No, Zuckerberg's a robot. I mean, he's basically
he doesn't stress.
Embodiment of a human person. And then... Get this. So I don't know if you've ever had an Apple phone that got damaged or needed a repair and you weren't near an Apple iStore to get that, repaired. Now, Apple will soon sell you parts to do your own repairs. Okay.
How much is that going to cost?
Jesus, that's the question. Yeah. It could be high. Apple has historically been pretty obtuse when it comes to letting customers open up and repair their devices, in the sense that they haven't. Traditionally, wannabe iPhone and Mac DIYers have had to source tools and parts from third parties, and fiddling around with your iPhone's guts is generally a quick way to void the warranty.
Exactly.
Let's be honest.
That's what I was going to say now.
You get to unscrew the back plate, and there goes your warranty.
Yep.
But apparently, that's all about a change. Apple has announced that from next year onwards, customers will be able to make use of self-service repair, which will provide them with Apple Genuine, i.e. the ones they use in-house, tools and spare parts so they can fix their devices at home. And this will be Apple DIY. Naturally, there are a few caveats to this. For one, it only applies to newer products such as the iPhone 12 and 13 to start with, followed by the M1 Max later on. Because if you could keep your old devices running, you wouldn't have to buy new ones, right?
Exactly.
So there's only going to be for the newer models. And in a press release, the Californian tech monolith states that the self-service is intended for actual technicians with mobile repair experience, and that your everyday customer should probably just take their device to an iFixit. But as long as you think you know what you're doing, you can still make use of it. Now, here's an interesting piece of information about Apple parts, and I wonder how this is going to affect that. Traditionally, if you've kept up with YouTubers such as Minus Tech Tips and things like that, you would come to realize that if, for example, you have a Mac and that Mac has a component on the motherboard which fails, those components on the motherboard are soldered. What that means is traditionally on a desktop computer or even some laptops, you can remove certain components like the RAM, the CPU cooler, the graphics card. You can remove all of these components and they're slightly interchangeable. Mm. But on a Mac, if your RAM fails and it's soldered to the board, or your CPU fails and it's soldered to the board, you don't just buy a new CPU. You need a new CPU, RAM, motherboard,
isn't
cooler.
Isn't that clever?
It's so expensive. It's ridiculously expensive.
It's done on purpose, man.
Oh, definitely. Because they want you to buy the newer model. If it works cost effectively to just buy a new phone,
I would just buy a new
one. Why repair it? Yeah. Same with my Samsung phone. If my screen breaks, it's like $550 or like 8,000 Rand to replace the screen.
Please tell me it's not broken.
No, it's not. And if it was, it would just become a frisbee. Like, honestly, I'll turn it into a boomerang and just hit myself in the head with it every
day. Yo. But anyway, in closing, Kane, where is the fastest internet speeds in South Africa? Where will you find it? Where do you think you will find it?
Probably coastal, close to the intercontinental cables, probably like Cape Town or even Upper Africa, you know, if the cables are coming mainland. probably close, the closer you are to those main intercontinental cables, the faster your internet connection is going to be. Am I wrong?
Well, according to my broadband's latest analysis, reviewing the insights, the fastest internet you will find in South Africa is a neighborhood called Doornkloof in Gauteng.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What is this internet speed that's so...
Download 89.57... Why am I not impressed?
89 megs a second download.
Right. And then upload 58.47.
I feel like that statistic...
Shouldn't it be more?
I feel like that statistic is just based on the consumer's ability to afford more fast internet versus the internet in that area, the infrastructure allowing for a faster connection. Because here in Nas now, I've had 100 megabyte download
speed.
Yeah,
exactly.
I've had it.
How does this work now? Now
yeah. I think most people in that region have a higher speed internet connection than people in South Africa, especially if you consider ADSL. Let's not even talk about it. It is the slowest thing. You have better chance of riding a piece of bread to the server and back than using an ADSL
cable. Piece of bread. Listen, I actually left it out. You're right. It was the average performance calculated for each neighborhood and then applied a threshold to ensure a large enough sample size. Secondly on the list is Bromhof. Where the hell is Bromhof?
Why these small towns have such good internet? Am exactly. I living in the wrong small town?
Yo, listen, we didn't even make top 10. It's Doornkloof, Bromhof, Linden's in Joburg, I know that, Meyersdal, Randendal, Bonaire Park, Bryanston, Kloetersville, Zwartkop and Green Hills. I know two or three of these names.
I had none. I had none of them.
Well,
even if I wanted to live there, I don't know which direction I set my travels on.
Same here. It looks like it's all Gauteng, most of
it. It must be wealthy neighborhoods. It surely is. That's what's determining that. Because I think it's like 1,200 rand, 500 meg a second internet.
But what's it called? Let me just see here. Bromhof doesn't sound very posh.
No. No, it sounds like Bloemfontein's ugly cousin.
Yes, exactly. So whatever.
I'll stick with my 3 megs a second download on a good day and we'll see where it goes from there.
Are you serious?
No, I have decent internet, but I tried the ADSL thing. Long story short, the router no longer is breathing. That's
how bad. You smashed it.
I wanted to smash it, but I just opted for placing it in the cupboard to die.
Oh, okay.
Because it's not good. ADSL, especially in Eisner, is just terrible.
But listen, the lines are just deteriorating. They're just, you know, decomposing underground. There's nothing left. There will be nothing left. No remains even. They just, what's the word? Corroding, is it?
It's just dust in the pipes now.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, and I also just want to say, I know that a lot of the fiber people, I mean, they work so hard every day, digging holes all over to put in those fiber lines. And, you know, people are so rude to them. I see this week another group of fiber guys were assaulted by people.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, listen, we're bringing you nice, decent internet and you're assaulting us. I feel for them.
Who's assaulting who? Another fiber company?
No, it looks like people? It was the residents, you know.
The residents.
I can understand it's inconvenient, but I mean, look at the bigger picture. You're getting amazing internet.
Inconvenience. When inconvenience is just the subtle breaking of the ground near your house so that a cable can be run there. Consider the difference between a cable nicely underground, out of sight, out of mind, or sprawled along the ground.
Yes, or like a telephone line running all over your house.
Coming in through your top bedroom window, you know, that you can't close properly because there's a flipping cable in the way.
Yes, and I mean, look, if they trample my petunias, I'll move them as well. But please, be kind to the fiber guys. They're doing their best, even though they're digging the trenches in the wrong side of the road sometimes.
But also, like, we're talking about people that somehow put manholes in the wrong place. Like, that happened to me the other day. I was getting fiber installed when I lived in my other house. And they came to me, he's like, look, there's a problem. And I'm like, what's the problem? They're like, no, the manhole was put into the wrong place. It's like, how do you misplace a manhole?
No.
It's not like you just accidentally drop a manhole
excuses.
In place. No.
Going to work drunk, I suppose. Yo, anyway, I can't believe it. That's it for another edition of the show. And we've got like two more left. Yeah, two or three more left before the end of the year, before we wrap it up for 2021.
We're going to do a special edition final episode of 2021.
We could. We for should. 2 hours.
3 hours. It's not less. Okay. Now, Jack, 2 hours.
I'm keen. You just say when.
We're going to have 80% of our listeners asleep on the couch after all that tech news.
My tummy will be sore again after all. Kane, thank you so much. It was good to have you back in studio, and then we'll see you again next week.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. And to all our listeners listening in, welcome back. We'll see you next week and enjoy the rest of your week and weekend.
You too, and careful out in the wind.
Yeah.
I suppose you'll save a walk because it will just take you and dump you at home, hopefully.
Kane last seen with an umbrella walking down the street.
No, I don't think the umbrella's a good idea. It's a bit wild.
All right, thanks very much, Ian. Have a good one.
Cheers, man. You too.
Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.
This podcast was brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or through the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store.